General Failure podcast is now being calibrated for your listening pleasure.
Welcome to episode 186 of the General Failure Podcast for the week of July 1st, 2019, brought to you by RadioHaver.com. This week, we test the limits of your patience, Ghostbusters 3 gets a new cast, and we get sand all up in our vagina. I'm TJ, and I've got with me Dom.
Hey!
And special guest, major listener, Greg!
Happy anniversary!
Yay! Yay. Top fan of the show.
Yep, I would 100%
agree. 4 years, baby.
4 years. 40 more strong?
Yeah, probably, unless I die next week. Who knows?
Feels like 10.
Yeah, I'd give myself around 10 years before I kick the bucket.
To live? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, probably. So we'll start off like we usually do with, what are you playing? Dom, Greg, you guys are playing some Switch stuff?
Obviously. I probably mentioned it last week, but Mario Maker came out on Friday.
Woohoo! Yeah.
Obviously, I'm playing that.
That's all we do. Stay up till 2 a.m. making levels and...
Yeah, you were up like forever
trying
last night.
At least.
We were hanging out on Friday making levels and playing, and I think I actually fell asleep making a level, like on the couch. I just passed out. Like,
I had to keep putting your Switch to sleep so the battery wouldn't die.
Yeah, it was that kind of night.
So I put the Switch to sleep and his eyes would open up and he's like, "Oh, more Mario."
It's like when somebody changes the channel while you're sleeping.
Exactly.
And you're like, "Oh, I was watching that."
Yeah. I'm an official dad at that point.
Yeah, pretty much. So what's the difference between 1 and 2?
There is none.
What?
I mean, like there's minor stuff. There's a story mode. Before I think it was just levels. Like,
yeah,
they just had like 70
short
levels.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it would like randomly pick a bunch from the internet for you to play.
You can still do that. You can do the endless run, and it'll just pick random ones from the internet, and you can just play those through.
So it just picks all the automatic ones that just like you move a foot, and then it just moves Mario to the end.
I actually haven't had any of those yet.
Oh, they actually added tags, so you can like just immediately turn them off.
Oh, thank Christ!
I'm like, yep.
Goodbye,
yeah,
forever.
Because those, it's like you weren't playing the game; you just watching Mario go through.
Yeah,
and like I appreciate the creativity behind them,
but I'd rather watch YouTube of
right,
that.
Exactly. It's not fun for me.
Yeah.
They added a Mario 3D World, which is really great. The music is super good. But like 3D World was like you could move around in 3D space, even though it had the mechanics of a 2D Mario game. But now it's just 2D with the 3D models and all that.
Oh, that's cool. So it looks you have like another set of things that you can add.
Yeah. What's interesting is like the other four are Mario 1, Mario 3, Super Mario World and Mario U. Or Wii or whichever one they say it is. And then Mario 3D World has like an entire different set of things that you can put in. So like there's different powers, there's different enemies, there's different blocks, things like that. So it's like everything changes when you choose that one. Whereas the other ones, you know, all the assets can be used interchangeably throughout the other four.
Yeah.
And also, you know how you can like, obviously you can switch between the assets of each game. But if you accidentally put it on 3D World, it'll erase everything you've already made.
Yep.
Oh, fuck.
Because it's a totally different engine.
It doesn't work at all.
It does warn you, though, so that's good.
Oh, that's at least good. That's just like, nah, we're not going to tell you. Just, you'll figure it out.
But I keep seeing ones with the cat suit, because that was the most fun thing in 3D
World. The cat suit's super fun. I fought Cat Bowser yesterday on this crazy castle level.
I actually don't think I've seen
horrible.
Him yet. Meowser.
Yeah.
I just love the when they make like Bowser like 8 billion feet tall for no apparent reason.
Yeah.
I think you can do that with this if you give him the mushroom. He does like he'll go like behind the stage and punch at you or something.
Yeah, he like climbs the objects out front and then he'll like jump in the back and come at you and swat at you. It's crazy.
Shit.
And they have like bullet bills coming from the background into the foreground.
Oh god.
It's super fun. Mario 3D World was amazing.
Yeah,
I loved that
I really
game.
Hope they port it.
Or
probably next year.
Yeah, maybe port it or even make a sequel. I would love to have a sequel to that game.
What they officially need to do is make the Mario 64 version I saw with Unreal Engine.
Yeah.
That someone made. And I was like, wow, this is way too realistic for a game like this.
I'd take Galaxy again, too.
Yeah.
If they ever make a third one, they should just do a trilogy or
they
something.
Should. That'd be cool.
There's a car power up too. You can get in the car and drive around.
It's so random. Like I don't think that's from any game as far as I can remember.
Yeah.
There's one stage where you just like get in a car and just fucking drive over stuff. So
peace, bitch.
I'm cool with that.
On the they have a night mode. So you know the angry sun in Mario 3? Yeah. It would like drop down stuff.
They brought that in.
You can make it a moon. And if you make it a moon, then every stage has like a weird effect.
Oh, cool. Like, so like even if you build like one level, if you just throw a moon in there, it just like
changes the level.
It could be like low gravity, or you move slow, but the enemies move normal, or enemies move like slow, like a third of the frame rate or whatever, but you're moving normal. It's really jarring.
Like even if you just did a normal Mario level, like that would still throw you off so much. Yep. I would die so much.
Yeah, it's super cool. They just, you know, they did what they should do, and they took the first one and just added a bunch of new stuff to it.
Yeah.
So there's a ton new, you know, items and things that you can use. It's easier to navigate through what items you want to use, because you have like a top bar where you can pin things, but then there's a like a little magnifying glass, and then you choose from like different categories of what you want. There's like a little wheel that you can go through and choose. So it's a little bit easier to get and find the items that you're trying to place and find the blocks that you're placing. So I appreciate that.
It's still really good with the touchscreen too. So we mostly built the levels in handheld. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to do it with the controller, but it's getting better the more I do it.
Yeah.
But still, it's like I could just tap that, but now it's like 7 button presses.
Yeah. The thing that I appreciated about the first one on the Wii U was the fact that I could design a level on the gamepad, and then somebody could be sitting with a controller and I could say, okay, try it now. And like you could do it on the TV. Whereas this, like, you have to pass a controller back and forth, and you have to use the controller to build. So that's not the best.
Yeah.
You eventually get used to it. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm getting pretty used to it. I think I've done...
It'd be cooler if you could just, like, take a Joy-Con off and be like, here, and then just slide it back on.
Yeah, you can do that. But then...
You can do co-op building and co-op playing.
Mm-hmm. Also. Yeah, you
co-op
can
co-op building?
Yeah, you can build together.
Oh, that's cool.
Two-player building.
So I just... You trying to build something and me just fucking it up.
Pretty much, yeah. Right. Most people have said that the way to do it is, I think, Greg, you told me too, like, one person focuses on building and the other person focuses on enemies.
Or, like, coin placement and put, it's like, you could put an enemy here.
I would do one where you can't delete and two people have to build simultaneously.
Yeah.
And see how bad the level becomes.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things that I'm interested in, because you can obviously play co-op playing too. So like there's going to be stages that require two players to beat. So I'm interested in seeing some of those. I'm interested in trying to design one, because like it's been, I don't know, probably 2 years at least since I designed a level.
Yeah.
So like I'm real rusty, and like I can tell, I like the first couple levels I made, I was just like, ugh,
this is just sad.
Yeah. And like I see other people's levels and I'm just like, man, like I'm not thinking of these things yet. So like I've got a couple levels, and the more I do, I'm getting a little bit better at it again, because I had some really fucking awesome ones in the first game.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
And they were real hard too.
Yeah, they were.
Well, that's the thing. It's like I don't intentionally make them hard. I make some of them intentionally hard.
Yeah.
But like a couple of them I don't make intentionally hard. I'm just like, I want a good challenge. Like I don't want people to just breeze through it and beat it in 10 seconds. Like I want a decent challenge. And then I post them online and stuff, and people are like, I can't fucking beat this. And I'm just like, I'm sorry. Like
you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, that first one I made to warm up, the first negative comment I got was, it would have been a pretty nice level except for all the enemy spam. Or just like, I didn't think it was that bad, but then it says like a clear rate of like 1%. I'm like, oh, damn.
Yeah. Like there was one that I had. I found it online. Yeah, there's a website where you can search for your levels, but it only works for the first game. But I searched for my username and I found all my levels, and my hardest one had like a 0.78.
Damn.
Clear rate, and there was like 1200 tries on it. And I'm just like, so people are playing that one.
Probably half of those are me.
Probably.
What was it? There was one I saw online that was like a moving wall, but it had just Hammer Bros lined.
That's fucking awesome.
So it's a moving level, but the levels also throwing shit at you continuously.
Yeah, I always just try and make something that's creative and interesting. I'll make you play my levels when we're done.
Oh.
There's one that I designed after I took inspiration from Heat Man stage from Mega Man 2. I don't know. You probably never played Mega Man 2. There's disappearing blocks going over a lava pit.
Oh.
So I took inspiration from that, and like I've actually gotten some pretty good feedback on Facebook and stuff from it. So I'm like, shit, maybe I should redo this level and just like really do it like Heat Man stage. Like I did it in the desert instead of on lava, and I'm like, maybe I should do it on lava.
And yeah, I thought it was like, really good.
Yeah, it's fun, but it's kind of like simple. It's just a tricky level. It's not long, but you know, it's fun and kind of like trial and error, like trying to figure out how to jump across the thing. So I don't know. I think I'm going to delete it or just redo the stage and do a different one. That's just like really like Heat Man stage and piss people off, because that stage is so goddamn frustrating. I hate it.
Oh, God.
I've been having a lot of that, too, where I'm like, I just want to take this down and tweak it. And then it's like, I should just make a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the time you're done tweaking everything, you're just like, I probably could have saved time just
making
a changing,
level.
Just making a new
like,
one.
The cap is 35 levels or 32 levels that you can upload.
So yeah. I had a couple of them that I was making and I was just like, nah, I don't like these. I just scrapped it all together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where you're just like, you get to a point where you're just like, fuck this.
And like, all right, my really hard one from the first game, I made a sequel to, and like, I thought I made it decently hard, but it's not that hard. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, I passed it. Greg passed it like real quick, and I was just like, shit. Like that other one, the first one, that's the one that I had the less than 1% pass rate on. It takes me 20 minutes to beat that stage.
Jesus.
Because it's so hard.
God damn, dude.
Yeah, and I had a couple of them. I had that one. They rank your stages based off of how hard they are. Mm. So like that one, I think was just an expert, and I had one that was like super expert because I had like a 0.4% pass rate. And I was like, I was looking at it. I'm like, that one's not even that hard. Like it's got a fucking super expert rating on it. Like,
yo, someone threw a Joy-Con through a TV,
probably.
But Super Mario Maker 2, definitely a buy.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
it's great. It's endless Mario.
Exactly.
Yep. Like, that can change on your own or play others.
Yeah, I mean, there's a story mode built in too that has, I don't know how many, something like 100 levels. So you're getting a full Mario game anyway.
Yeah.
And then you have endless possibilities of playing people's online, sharing yours with your friends. Really wish there was an easier way to share it. I don't really like... Mm-hmm. Taking a picture of my level code and posting it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Welcome to
Nintendo.
You should be able to just see your friends list and what they post for one thing.
Yeah. The good news is you can star and like favorite other creators Makers, so you can look at their levels. But your friend list is built into the console. There's no reason to not just look at their levels. So the
search features are a lot better and like the curation's a lot better. They have a lot of featured, you know, levels of the day and featured creators. So I like to find one of those levels and then look at what else they made. And generally they're all pretty good.
Yeah.
So you have a good time with
usually those top tiered people are pretty decent at making levels. And it's not just like one rando and then the rest are shit.
The developer that made Celeste actually made like 4 or 5 levels already.
Oh,
and
shit.
I couldn't get like 10 seconds into
I
was like, I loaded one up. I was like, nope.
I was actually playing Celeste the other day because like it's been a while since I played it, and it was a couple bucks on Steam, so I bought it and I was like, oh, this game is so much fun. Like,
it is great.
It's just that like trouble or that like really tough trial and error, like, you know,
and the instant respawn like Meat Boy, like it just get to keep going. It's like, oh, shit, 3 hours passed.
Exactly. So I'm assuming that his Mario Maker levels are exactly the same.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Christ. So go check out Super Mario Maker 2 if you have a Switch, or go buy a Switch and then go buy Super
Mario. Check us out on ValleyCon in a couple weeks, and we'll have that up and we'll be playing that and you can play it too. Don't break my Switch, please.
I'll probably do that beforehand.
Please don't.
So we also have Greg. You got some Tetris stuff and a Switch controller adapter?
Yeah, they had Tetris 99. I think you guys talked about it before, but like that Tetris Battle Royale game
that like blew up.
I started playing that again because I got this controller adapter for the Switch. It's called the 8-bit do.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out how, like, it feels like it should be
8-bit do, but 8-bit
do.
I keep going back and forth, but just so people can look it up, 8-bit do. But it's like a Bluetooth little adapter, runs on 2 AA batteries. And it has a GameCube controller port on one side and a Wii like nunchuck port on the other side. Yeah.
Something like fell off like an N64 controller.
Yeah.
Like that's what it
looks
like.
And it's like GameCube purple and everything.
Yeah.
And it's super good. There's no input lag. I played like Mario Maker with it, obviously. That's the main reason I got it, because you can put your NES Classic or Super Nintendo Classic controller into the side of it and just play. It works great. I put 2 batteries in it and like pushed the sync button 2 seconds later, paired with the Switch.
That's awesome.
Was like so super easy.
I've been meaning to get one of those because people have been talking about how great it is. But like, yeah, I just want to get it and plug the SNES Classic controllers into it.
That's all I wanted. I was like, why isn't Nintendo doing this? And then I remembered they're charging $50 for those NES controllers that slide on the side of the controller.
So dumb. At least they're wireless, I guess.
And the Wave Birds still sell for a pretty penny because
they don't make them anymore.
I
honestly don't understand why Nintendo hasn't made Wavebirds, official Wavebirds with Rumble in them.
Yeah.
Like,
it makes no sense.
There's
no
reason.
They can make so much money.
It's stupid because the Switch technically doesn't have GameCube support for it.
Yeah.
If you're using the GameCube adapter, you can use a GameCube controller, but if you're not using a specific game, like Smash Brothers, it works because that's where the buttons are supposed to be. But if you're playing Zelda, your buttons are all over the place because it's not, they're just not in the right spot as per what the Joy-Con or the Pro controller is. So I bought a wireless GameCube controller that's made by, I think the company is Power A. The controller is awesome.
Yeah, it looks exactly
right. It's like perfectly fit. Every button is where it should be, feels how it's supposed to, but the Switch recognizes it as a Pro controller, so if the game doesn't have options to switch your controls, you're completely screwed.
Fuck. Yeah, that's the same thing with this, except, I mean, I've generally been going with the Super Nintendo controller because it has L and R on it.
Yeah.
But it just works perfect.
Yeah.
How much is that?
It was like $12.
Damn.
Oh, geez.
That's pretty fucking
awesome. Yeah. Like
I just bought a second one.
I'm going to have to get one.
No, it's not Xbox selling it.
It's true.
Adapter for $40.
So yeah, it's third party, so.
Yeah, so it's pretty cheap, which it's a little tiny fucking thing, too. So you can just put it like anywhere.
Probably cost them like $5 to make
stuff. Yeah. So, and then you have the Tetris stuff.
Oh, yeah. So I have been playing more Tetris 99 because of that. And then today they announced that because Splatoon is wrapping up the Splatfests, they're doing a Tetris 99 event where you can get a free Splatoon theme if you get 100 points during their event. It's the event weekend is July 12th to the July 15th at midnight. It ends.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah,
it's 100 points like hard or
no? They did 100 points for a
classic
Game Boy theme, so like monochrome like the Game Boy was.
Yeah, that puke green color.
Oh god,
it's great. That's all I play with now.
I did it in one night. Like it took me I don't know, probably
it did like four or five rounds for me.
Yeah I think it took me maybe like seven rounds because I'm not
that's to be good at Tetris.
No, I'm not good at Tetris. Decent. I'm terrible at
really,
Tetris.
If you like,
better than I am.
If you win, you'll get like 50 points right away.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Yeah, that ain't ever.
So
that's
not,
why I never play Tetris.
It's not that difficult to achieve those.
So if you want a cool Splatoon theme,
hell yeah, I'll
play
it.
Those.
And then uncross your eyes and get in the zone. And
get like those horse blinders.
Get them Tetrises.
And then pick up the control adapter because that thing looks awesome and it works.
Plays great.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna get one
right at the
get-go.
Maybe
I'll order it right now.
So moving on, no nerd news this week, but, we got some geek on geek off stuff. I got some stuff that I want to share. So Sandman, a comic book written by Neil Gaiman is being adapted for Netflix.
Woohoo!
Wee.
Shocker.
So not Netflix. Sandman from
Spider-Man
3.
No, thank Christ. no, this is, Sandman from, Neil Gaiman's comic books, which follows Morpheus. He's
The Matrix.
Yes, yep. The Matrix.
So it's a Matrix Spider-Man crossover.
Oh god. Whoa. Please don't. So yeah, it follows Morpheus, who's he's like the leader, or he's like the head honcho of the Dreaming, which is the dream realm where everyone thinks of in their dreams lives. Okay. More or less, and he's part of that.
So it's like Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, but not as creepy-ish. so yeah, they're part of like he's the Lord of Dreams, that's what they call him. And he's part of the Endless and these powerful siblings, Destiny, Death, Despair, Destruction, Desire, Delirium, and Dream. And they're pretty much like
I really wish they all started with D's and the last one was like, and Ted.
And So yeah, they're pretty much like right below gods. They just like control a lot of stuff. Death is shown in a lot of things. You've probably seen a picture of her. She's like usually like a gothic girl with like a black and white shirt, like striped shirt, and like a almost like Anubis kind of like necklace.
Yeah, I'm sure I've seen that.
You've probably seen her. She's like everywhere. But yeah, Netflix finally picked up Sandman. Neil Gaiman's been wanting to do a Sandman show, but
shopping around.
Yeah, and they've been there's other places that have tried to do it, but he's always kind of kiboshed it because it's come out like crap. Like their ideas have come out like crap, so he's been like, no, I don't want to just give it to someone to do it.
Netflix is generally the place where it's like, hey, creators, you have a say, and everything else is just like, it's all ours now.
Yeah,
like,
fuck it. And also, he just had there's good reviews for Amazon's Good Omens.
Which I really want to see that. Too bad Netflix canceled it.
That's right. Fucking Netflix. Get your shit together.
And then also American Gods was his as well.
Oh, I've heard that's really good, actually.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing. I didn't look at Good Omens just because the fucking effects look terrible.
Oh, I don't know.
Really?
Yeah,
the like, trailer looked all right.
David Tennant's eyes looked terrible.
Oh, yeah. Like little snake man eyes.
Yeah. It didn't look like the effects looked like really bad.
I don't know. Sometimes if it's like pre-production trailers, they just don't. The effects are not finished. But I've heard really good things about the show. So,
yeah, I mean, Neil Gaiman's an amazing writer. This book gets rave reviews. Mm-hmm. He's gotten awards from the books before. So I'm hoping. And it's going to be a series. It's not just going to be one movie. I mean, the thing is, the books are kind of like liquid with time, like especially with the second chapter. It's all over the place in time. So like one chapter will be like him in like the 1700s. And then the next one will be like him in like 300 AD like, because he's able to flow through time like that because he's connected to dreams.
So, I mean, it's not impossible to do that.
No, it'd probably be like an episodic thing.
Dedicate episodes or, you know, one or two episodes to the time period. And then, you know, at the end of the episode, he moves on to a different time period. And it's like, okay, then at least people can follow what the hell's going on.
Yeah. No word on who's going to play Morpheus. When they did a 2014 interview with Neil Gaiman, they were in talks to do the show.
Uh-huh.
And it was Joseph Gordon-Levitt who was at the time. Leading it, but he ended up dropping out because of creative differences with the company.
Oh, wow.
And not with Gaiman. You know, I think it was Warner Brothers at the time.
He kind of just, like, disappeared.
Yeah.
There was, like, a good, like, 5 years where he was fucking everywhere. Yeah, and now it's just like, I haven't seen him in a while.
I think he produces a lot of content.
Does he?
Yeah, okay.
I think he gets a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. Behind
the camera now.
Last thing I saw him in was the Bruce Willis roast.
Last thing I saw him in was, like,
Batman
on the E3 stage. He was promoting something. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah,
it was like a year or two ago. Okay.
Yeah, it was a year or two ago. Yeah, no, they had enough big celebs this year. Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, that's all you needed.
It might have been a Cyberpunk 99 thing or something.
Probably. They just like
it's either that or Ubisoft.
They just throw money at marketing with that fucking game. So I'm excited because I really love the books. They also could because Lucifer is also a creation of Neil Gaiman. And he first appeared in Sandman. Completely different character.
Lucifer appeared in Sandman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Morpheus goes to hell to deal with some stuff, and he deals with Lucifer at one point. So it'd be cool to see kind of a crossover, even though that Lucifer is completely different than what the show is.
That's true. But you'd still do something.
Yeah, it'd be cool just to see him show up and just like interact a little bit, but I'm excited. Neil Gaiman's a real big part of this, and hopefully that will make it good.
Yeah, I mean, are there really any times where Netflix is just like flat out letting people down?
True.
Not really. Like all of these things are pretty decent.
So go check out some of the news on that, and hopefully we'll get an air date on that soon because I am fucking ready. So moving on from that. We got a Dom. You got some Ghostbusters stuff.
Yeah. So it was announced. I don't know, over the weekend that Paul Rudd has now joined the cast of the new Ghostbusters movie, which is, I guess, like officially Ghostbusters 3. It's following that, you know, Ghostbusters 1-2 timeline rather than the 2016 Ghostbusters.
Okay, so they're just completely ignoring that movie.
Not ignoring, but
well, we'll see. but yeah. it's the same universe, so exactly. bringing like everybody back pretty much, everyone they can.
Exactly.
I was about to say, they bring some people back from the dead.
Well, it is a movie about ghosts.
Yeah. I mean, it really depends on, is Bill Murray going to show up?
Because I think he's in.
I would assume that he was. The fact that he showed up in the 2016 Ghostbusters, I was surprised, because he has been the holdout for Ghostbusters 3.
I feel like he just shows up whenever. Yeah. Like, he'll just walk on stage and be like, well, guess we're shooting with Bill Murray today.
He did an interview with Howard Stern, I think it was. He doesn't have an agent. You just have to, like, call him at the right time. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll do that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's, like, the most Bill Murray thing.
Like, somebody, like, met him in an airport and was like, oh, I had this idea for movies. Like, oh, that sounds cool. I would do that.
Yeah.
It's like him and Tom Hanks just hanging around people getting married and shit and just like showing up in their pictures.
So there's a few other cast members that are announced. I don't remember who they are. I don't really know them.
Any of them from the 2016 at all? Or
at this point, I don't think anyone's been announced. I'm assuming they're going to try and get all of them.
Yeah.
At some point to see what happens. I know that Ivan Reitman, the guy who wrote and directed the original Ghostbusters movie, his son is directing this.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's kind Family of a cool. Thing. Yeah, that's kind of a cool, like, passing of the torch down to his son to direct it. So,
it's a lot of fucking pressure, though.
It sure. Well, yeah, I mean,
but he said his kid grew up like on the set of Ghostbusters. Yeah. Like, he was into this world before anybody else knew about it. You know, he was like the perfect age, like when we were kids.
I love it.
Yeah. So. I mean, I have to assume he'll do a pretty good job. I don't think I've ever seen something that Paul Rudd's been in and been like, no, that wasn't good. Like, he's the best fucking actor ever.
Whoever his agent is does really good work.
Yeah, it's probably Bill Murray. Yeah, Paul Rudd will do that. All right, sure.
Yeah, I'll show agent. Sure, why not?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to be good. So, I mean, of course, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I like Ghostbusters.
I can't wait. The teaser trailer they showed was like perfect. Nailed the tone exactly what
is
I'm
is it
going to
be named like Ghostbusters 3, or is it just going to be
last 2020 right now?
Ghostbusters 2020. So it could stay that. Who knows? It might be Ghostbusters 3.
I feel like there's going to be a ton of movies.
They'll probably get a tagline.
Yeah, there will be.
Instead of a number. That's like the latest trend, is to just drop numbers and
tagline. Just use tagline. It's so dumb.
I think it comes from like mobile gaming, because they said like if you put a number on your sequel, it cuts your sales in like half.
Really?
So yeah. I guess because everyone thinks, oh, it's just like going to be like a little up.
So like if people don't know that it's a sequel, they're more likely to jump in.
Interesting.
But I mean, who doesn't know that Ghostbusters is a thing?
You know, I think you'd be surprised with how stupid some people can be.
True.
That's true.
I mean, there's definitely people alive today that like weren't around for the originals. So like...
But see, I would think that they would...
The only Ghostbusters they know is the 2016 one.
But that's
one.
The thing. I think that they would purposely name it Ghostbusters 3 to let all of those people know that refused to see the 2016, to let them know, like, this isn't that. This is...
Yeah, go you know, see this.
The Ghostbusters that you don't hate for no reason. Like, I think that that's what they would probably... it would be a smarter marketing ploy for them.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get the people that saw... Then like the last Ghostbusters movie, and then you're going to pull back in all the other people that boycotted the last Ghostbusters movie, and you make $1 billion.
And also, you have to not have the marketing team from the last movie.
Dude, that was the worst.
It's the worst marketing team in the world. Because it made it look like it was just a cookie cutter, like you filled in the blanks with these actors.
I don't know if it was the worst marketing I've ever seen for a movie, but it's definitely on the list.
It's up there.
I'm sure that there's some movie that was marketed way worse.
Probably.
But
I think
that is really up on that. That's probably the worst marketing job from like a blockbuster movie that I've ever seen.
Yeah. So
terrible. Even I didn't want to see it.
So go. We'll hopefully see that soon when it comes out in 2020. I'm guessing it's coming out in 2020.
I would hope so.
That would be really awkward. So moving on from there, Greg, you got some Batman stuffs?
Yeah, it's kind of old news, but
wow.
Batman Brave and the Bold is like 10 years now, and it just dawned on me.
Brave and the Bold is 10 years old?
Yeah, it came out. It started in 2008.
That's 11 years old.
I feel like it's such a underrated series, I think.
Yeah,
like,
I think it's because it's very... geared towards kids.
It was so campy, but like there's so many good references for adult fans and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like there's this really great episode with Batmite, and he's voiced by Pee-wee, and he's just like, and you know, like Batman's just super campy serious, and this one is just puns everywhere.
It's the Adam villains West Batman are so ridiculous cartoon form.
Yeah,
yeah. and has the music meister, yeah. Neil Patrick Harris.
God. Oh, yeah.
They brought in a ton of really good voice actors for that.
Yeah. They had John DiMaggio voices Aquaman, and he's just, he calls everybody old chum. And like,
it is like just ramp up the camp to like 11.
It's so great.
Sometimes you need stuff like that.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
Like, not everything can be dark and gritty. Like,
not everything can be Batman Beyond.
Yeah. You need something that's intentionally like stupid,
yeah,
where it knows that it's purposely trying to be dumb like that, like the Lego movie.
Yeah, right.
There's
exactly.
So much stuff that happened in the Lego movie where I was like, that was stupid and great because you did it on purpose.
And
like,
Lego Batman is hilarious for the same reasons. Exactly. I love Brave and the Bold. It's just those ridiculous jokes and
nobody taking Batman seriously, but Batman taking himself way too seriously.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot of fun. So of course I bought all three seasons on Amazon because I was like, I don't have that.
And three seasons of that?
Yeah. Huh. And it's hard because it's not easily streaming anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm worried that it's just going to like disappear forever soon because like Blu-rays are vanishing.
Yep.
And the DC Universe.
I was thinking about that.
It's possible.
Probably.
I feel like
I've heard that might be sinking.
That's quick.
Yeah.
which it's sucks because I want the second season of Titans.
Yeah.
I feel like you never know what Warner Brothers is doing.
I don't think Warner Brothers knows what Warner Brothers is doing.
The DC app, they're starting a WB streaming service. Brave and the Bold's technically a Cartoon Network show.
Yeah.
Like, how do you balance all these things?
Right.
They don't. That's the problem, is they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah. Nobody knows what DC is doing until it's too late.
Yeah.
And then it's just like,
what have we done?
It's already out. Except
Aquaman made like $1 billion, didn't it? And Wonder Woman.
It's
so
funny. Wonder Woman is great. Yeah. I've heard really mixed things about Aquaman. I heard it was great, and then I heard some people that were like, this is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I think those two movies, because Warner Brothers kept their hands off them, the directors were really strongholding it.
That's the same thing that happened with Iron Man. Everyone was like, oh, nobody wants to make an Iron Man movie, and the studio was just like, you know, just
do
your thing.
Yeah.
And then everyone was like, wow, you can tell, like, an accurate comic book story.
And that's also interesting.
And then we made, like, more money than exists on Earth.
Pretty much.
Right.
I mean, I don't even know what Endgame is up to now. It just got re-released this weekend.
Yep. Yeah.
With like, what? Like 20 minutes? Of
7 minutes.
Seven minutes.
And everyone's angry about what those 7 minutes are.
Really?
Apparently it's just like a bunch of bullshit.
I heard it was like just an after credits thing.
Oh,
and then maybe like a little bit of padded scenes.
There was,
but
like
there were theaters that were sold out.
Yeah. There was like one extra Hulk scene. I want to go see it again.
Yeah, I would see it
again. I loved the movie.
I almost saw Spider-Man last night. My buddy texted me. He's like, hey, there's a 1201 show. And I'm like, I have to work today, but yeah, I'm in. And then he bailed. So I was like, what the fuck? Now I'm all jazzed for Spider-Man. I can't go.
Oh, man.
I'm going to see it probably this weekend, Friday or something like that. I'll see it. I did watch Into the Spider-Verse for the first time yesterday.
Yeah, that
was so fun.
So good.
Yeah. It was incredible.
Yeah,
I really hope they continue with that series.
I think they will. I mean, that...
It made a lot of money
and
a lot of awards.
Yeah.
That's the Lego movie guys did that. That's what they won Oscars for Into the Spider-Verse.
That's awesome.
And fun fact, I mean, I don't know if you guys know this, I'm a major Star Wars fan. And
I don't know that.
They got fired from the Han Solo movie for being terrible, but they were kind of distracted with Lego Movie 2 and this, and now they have Oscars.
They made a ton of money, got Oscars, and the Han Solo movie bombed, basically.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's going to be a cult classic.
Yeah, it was a good movie. It was a fun time.
That's
it was
what
a
I lot hear. Of fun. Everyone that actually went to the movie were like, I enjoyed it.
You should see it. It's on Netflix, I think, still.
It is. Is it?
Yeah. The best way to describe it is it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It wasn't a great movie, but it was like a summer action flick, and like you got Star Wars, and like everybody, it was good.
That's exactly
what
I was looking for.
People were just like, we're done.
I think a lot of people are Star Wars'd out right now, and
which is crazy to think how many like fucking Marvel movies we have.
I mean, and I thought Star I was Star Wars like, out, but then you saw that new Jedi Fallen Order game at E3, and I was like,
fuck yeah. I think games were waiting for a good one, because the last few have been, like, spectacular.
Yeah. I think the difference...
I'm looking at you, Force Unleashed 2.
Yeah. I think the difference between Marvel movies and Star Wars movies is that, for the most part, Star Wars movies are all kind of the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they all follow similar plots.
I mean, you could say that about the Marvel movies, too. They're kind of the same cookie cutter.
Like, the Marvel formula is they mash it up with something. So it's like Marvel heist movie, Marvel prison break, Marvel political thriller.
Yeah. And that's what works is Star Wars is Star Wars political thriller over and over again. Yeah. Like if they had an Iron Man movie every year, you'd get bored of Iron Man movies.
Yeah.
You know, but
well,
I just want my Knights of the Old Republic movie.
If they were made like, yeah, no, I would love a fucking Knights of the Old Republic movie. Fucking but like, Revenant shit. Oh, yeah. Shit.
So like, all right, if they, you know, they in say 10 years, they come out with a new Iron Man trilogy because it was like, you know, we got new Iron Man. Like, it's, you know, it's been so long since Robert Downey Jr. We're going to cast somebody new. And then the first Iron Man movie, the reboot, is almost scene for scene a remake of the first Iron Man movie. You'd probably be like, all right. Like, really? What
about this? And me personally would love it because the first Iron Man movie is like fucking my favorite.
Right.
My favorite
but you can just
time.
Watch that first Iron Man movie. Do you really need them to make?
Well, yeah, but that would be like money? 10 yeah, years ago and it looked like crap.
We already have the new Iron Man and his name is Peter Parker.
Exactly.
You know it's coming.
Oh,
they said he's got like 9 more movies.
Jesus. I mean, he's so young. He's way younger than anyone else that's been in this.
And everybody loves him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so. They finally found. And I'm not going to blame actors, but they finally wrote a character who is a good Peter Parker and a good Spider-Man.
Yeah. Well, they finally let Kevin Feige make a Spider-Man movie.
Right.
Yeah, instead of letting retards do it, apparently.
Yeah.
Sam Raimi is a great director. He just doesn't know how to write Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Actual Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He was too sad. He was like fucking depressed all the time. Like,
It was hard to watch Peter get bullied all the time.
Right, exactly. And then whoever did Amazing Spider-Man, I don't even know who directed that and wrote
it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I didn't realize that Amazing Spider-Man 2 is worse reviewed than Spider-Man 3.
All right, that's impressive because like Amazing Spider-Man 2 was boring.
Yeah.
And so was the first one. They were very...
I love the first one.
They're both so generic and so bland that...
I think it's also because I like Andrew Garfield as an actor.
Yeah.
So I think that helps.
Yeah,
so
he was a smart ass. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, his Spider-Man was good. His Peter Parker was terrible. It was written
hard.
Yeah,
they wrote him too like popular and shit.
But Spider-Man 3 is legitimately bad. Like,
I was actually reading today, Sam Raimi, like, you know, he was so mad that they shoehorned Venom in because he didn't want to do that character. He went out of his way to make that movie as bad as he could.
That's
just
awesome.
Like, stop but it in its tracks.
I think the worst part about that is that Venom was probably the one redeeming quality of that movie.
Really?
I mean, CG Venom, but not Topher Grace.
Yeah, Grace is terrible.
I thought Topher Grace was the best part of the movie.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. What else was?
I'm not saying anything else was good.
The bell scene was good with the special effects and all that.
Thomas Hayden Church looked like he was going to cry the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Totally forgot about it.
It looked like he had chapped lips, so they just smeared Vaseline on his fucking mouth. Like, it was disgusting. I hated looking at him.
There's parts of that movie where you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. That was in that movie.
The best part is after the Sandman battle, Peter takes his boot off and just pours sand out for 30 seconds.
Yeah. Every single thing that happened with Hobgoblin in that movie was a disaster.
Yeah.
All of it.
All stupid.
It was all terrible. And that's what felt shoehorned.
I love James Franco, though.
So do I, but that doesn't mean that wasn't bad.
No, I know. But I was just like, oh, look at him smile.
Yep. I felt like that whole thing felt shoehorned in more than Venom did.
I mean, every villain felt shoehorned in. Like, none of them felt like they were the main villain of the movie.
I hated that they retconned Uncle Ben dying to make it Sandman's fault to give Peter some sort of
motivation.
Some motivation to hate him, because like it was weird. Like, they went out of their way to make you like sympathize with Sandman, be like, oh, he's doing it for his daughter. Oh, but he killed Uncle Ben. It's just like, it was just fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And this is completely leaving out all the really bad stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Like the acting being wooden as hell. Peter Parker's dance.
I think it's the second scene in the movie, Kirsten Dunst is on stage singing, and whoever they got to dub her singing voice sounded insanely nothing like her.
Yeah.
And they didn't sync her mouth up, so it was like you could visibly see that she wasn't singing. And like,
just Sam Raimi just didn't care. He was like, it's good enough.
Did that ruin her career? Because I feel like she didn't come out with a lot of stuff until like recently.
I don't think I've seen her in anything in the past few years.
I think after that, she was in...
I think that ruined a lot of careers.
I can't remember.
I mean, Tobey Maguire did...
Tobey Maguire's drinking ruined his career.
Well, yeah.
But he did...
And, like,
he
womanizing.
Was it
him and...
Seabiscuit?
Leo DiCaprio.
Seabiscuit was before that, I think.
Was it?
He did Brothers with Jake Gyllenhaal after. That movie's awesome. If you haven't seen that, incredible movie. And he did Great Gatsby.
Oh, and he was real good. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah?
Gatsby.
Yeah. I actually like that movie.
I wanted to see it.
That starred Leonardo, right?
Yeah. It's a really interesting movie. Because like it's the way that it's shot is like Laz Berman or whatever his name is. Yeah, so it's like really, really stylized, and it just gives the movie like a kind of interesting take to it. I like it a lot.
So to see if it's streaming anywhere.
Yeah, that looked weird to begin with, but yeah. I mean, it's based off the book, so it can't be that terrible.
Yeah, it was a good time. I enjoyed it.
So that's all for us this week. Don't forget to check us out on genfailcast.com. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at genfailcast. Like and subscribe to us on Twitch and YouTube. And if you like what you've heard from us, consider leaving us a review on iTunes and reach out with any questions or topics you'd like for us to discuss. And we'll discuss them on air right here. Everybody say bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.